Welcome to Surf Sessions, our first official episode of Surf Sessions. We're really excited to have you as our first guest, and pick your brain about what you're doing at Sequel and, in particular, how you're working with and managing your board. Very excited to have you. If you want to just take a minute to introduce yourself and your company and kind of where you're at in this startup journey, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm honored to be the first guest and to kick off the series with you. This is something very close to my heart as we've been building up the startup and the board. So a little bit about me. I'm the founder and CEO of Sequel.io. We're a Series A San Francisco-based company. And of course, being a Series A means that we do have a board, and we started building up our board from our seed stage. So I'm excited to share some of the learnings and, mistakes also that we've made as we've built up our board.
Yeah, and that's great. And I love that you instantly mention mistakes. That's something that we talk about all the time. Having a board and learning how to work with your board successfully is like a constant trial and error process. It's like it's okay to get it wrong. We all do. And part of the reason we wanted to do this session in the first place was really to help everybody learn from each other's mistakes and each other's successes. And are there tools that someone is implementing, strategies people are using that somebody else might find useful in this journey of learning how to navigate all of these different moving parts?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, so you mentioned that your company is Series A, but you had a board at seed stage, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I would love to hear a little bit about kind of what that transition has been like, going from having a board at a really early stage to, growing into this more developed company, and I would assume, in conjunction with that, a more developed board.
Yeah, so I'm a first-time founder, and I know that this is having a board at seed stage is somehow kind of controversial. Some founders don't like to have the board at the seed stage. They might have that. They might feel like it's putting too much process into the business as they're experimenting things and they're growing. Others do like to have that board. I've decided to do start forming a board at seed stage because I'm a first-time founder and because I think that that gave us a structure and a certain kind of support that we needed as I was learning to be a founder and to build a business, and the business was growing and needed that kind of more hands-on advice. So we established that very early on, but I have to say early on was very it was a lot more casual, right? It was just myself and our seed investor, and our seed investor is great. So it was literally kind of working together, brainstorming ideas and ways to grow. And it was a lot less kind of, structured as it is right now. But it really kind of established the foundation of what it means to run a board meeting, to prepare for a board meeting. So now at Series A, as we have two external board members, and obviously myself and also my co-founder, as well as some board observers, it really gives us a lot more insights into how to activate our board. Because while at seed stage, we were working very closely with our board member, and it was obviously on like text basis and so on. Now having a bigger board than us, having a bigger team and also having a leadership team as well at Sequel, it's becoming a little bit more complex, making sure that the leadership team internally is preparing for the board meeting and knowing the type of preparation that it takes for that. And potentially some of our executive team members even being part of the board meeting and presenting parts of that, as well as activating our board. And now the board, having more people on it, our seed and Series A investor, a couple of observers, means that, these people are also very busy. So how do we keep them engaged, and how do we make sure that they're focused on the right topics for conversation, as well as following up on a lot of those action items and making sure that we are making the most of, their networks and their expertise even after the board meeting is being done.
Yeah, and I love that you bring that up. I think a common misconception, especially for first-time founders or founders of smaller companies, is that, their role with their board is really to just kind of report, like give some status updates, make sure they're hitting whatever benchmarks have been set. And that's kind of it. When in reality, you know, as you mentioned, this is a group of people who have access to expertise, resources, connections that you yourself maybe don't have. And finding ways to tap into that to help you accomplish everything that you need to do is extremely valuable if you're able to do it successfully.
Yeah, and I think it's also the way, of course, every single board is different, right? And this is my first board, so I don't really have a point of reference from other boards that other founders have. But we're pretty lucky to have a board that is not necessarily there to check on us and get the reporting. Or it's like, of course, we want to hit our goals and we want to make sure the business is healthy and we are, kind of really growing. So that's also great. But at the same time, we want to work with our board. So as we prepare materials for the board meeting, we have, of course, the reporting that we send in advance that they can kind of check in on, and we always keep them updated. But the majority of the time we save for those topics of discussions, things that we're blocked on, or we need more insights on, or it's just kind of opening up the discussion for everyone in on the board, including internal our team as well as our external board members to kind of weigh in their opinion and make the right decision together. So it's also the structure of the board meeting that we've said that really works well in our favor.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear a little bit about how you've been managing your board meetings. Are you doing them in person? Are you doing them remotely? What have those been looking like?
We have decided to do 50-50. So 50% in person, 50% remote. We've chosen like one in person. For example, we do the board meeting is usually within the first 2 weeks after the quarter has finished. So like the first month of the new quarter. And we have the January one in kind of virtual, because the assumption is that people have traveled over Christmas and they probably want to kind of stay a little bit more local. So like the virtual for January, then we have April that is in person, summer is virtual, and then fall is in person. And it just works so well for us that way, gives flexibility to everyone, as well as having those kind of in-person check-ins and doing dinners and building a relationship with the board members is really key. So yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. It's such a balance of, you know, you don't want it to be inconvenient, and getting everybody to be in the same place 4 times a year can be a pretty monumental task. But there is that value too of actually spending time with your board members, going to dinner, you know, building those relationships that make it feel more like a collaboration. These are people who you can turn to when you need help, and you don't have to, you know, feel as much pressure talking to them. And it's a balance, and it's been interesting to see how people are navigating this transition over the last few years to more and more remote or hybrid meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there anything you've been doing, you know, is your approach, I guess, different in an in-person meeting versus a remote meeting? Do you approach it any differently to try to keep people really engaged for, you know, 3, 4 hours at a time?
Yeah, 4 hours now. We actually reduced it from like 5 or 6 that we had at the beginning, but now we're very kind of snappy. 3.5 hours usually is our board meeting. We like 30 minutes for like any wrap-ups. I think it's the preparation that matters so much. At the beginning, as we were starting our board meetings, I remember doing a lot of the reporting in the board meeting, a lot of the questions, people trying to kind of catch up with, all the updates from the business. Also, we were just moving at such a fast pace. Like our product is developing really fast, sales and all kinds of things in the business. So they needed some time to catch up with everything that we're doing, even though we were catching up every 2 weeks. So we were spending a huge amount of time on that. And that's when I realized that preparation is so much more important. So what we've been doing for the past year is about a week or even sometimes 2 weeks in advance, we submit our materials with the board and we allow them to ask all the questions and it's open for everyone. Another thing to mention, we made the shift from decks, PowerPoints, or like Canvas into written format because I noticed that I was spending more than 50% of that time. And that was like days just like designing the decks, like putting the colors and like, this too many words on this slide, and it was not the right thing in here. So I'm like, okay, let's scrap this. And it's a written format. So actually, we're using Surfboard to have that particular written format. And what I love about Surfboard, and that's something that I couldn't achieve with having it in a Google Doc or something else in the past, is that while it's written format, it makes it so easy to present on the day because I can go into presentation mode. Whereas when I was in like Google spreadsheets, I was just like scrolling through, and it was just so weird, as if I was just like reading a book. So we're doing a lot of that preparation. People can ask a lot of questions. We're doing a lot of the clarifications in advance. So when it's the board meeting day, we can focus a lot more on kind of high-level updates, specifically my CEO update. That's something that I actually don't send in advance. I have it on the day so that it's a lot more impactful, both for virtual and in person. But then we can go so much faster into like the topics of discussions. And that is both for remote and in person. But when it comes to in person, I also allow some time before and after the board meeting to do some either lunch or dinner, drinks, and those kind of more organic, you know, get to know each other and build those in-person relationships that are, you know, kind of so special. And then after the board meeting is all about kind of following up, sending the materials, and keeping everyone accountable for those action items.
Yeah, and I definitely want to dig into that in a minute here, kind of that post-meeting follow-up and what those practices look like. But before we move on, I just kind of want to dig into this idea of, you know, you doing all of this kind of asynchronous prep before your meetings, figuring out what information, you know, should the board read on their own before we're, you know, going to spend 3 or 4 hours with each other, that could turn into 5 or 6. And, you know, kind of what that process looks like for what information are you sharing before the meeting versus, you know, how are you determining which topics are really worth spending that very precious meeting time focused on?
Good question. And I can answer that more kind of where we're at right now, because at the beginning was a little bit more casual. Now that we have a more structured team and a leadership team in place, the moment we finish the quarter, like the first week after we finish the quarter, I ask everybody from my team to submit their input. And we have a specific kind of format that I ask everyone to submit within. And we use that input both for our all hands, basically for our quarterly all hands, as well as extracting information for the board meeting. And that format, we kind of collect from everyone in the team in kind of the same place. And then I take it and then I turn it into kind of the board's material. And it's been so helpful because we also have a check-in with the team internally, with the leadership team, asking also the topics that they feel like we need the board to help us with. Because I might have a certain challenge myself, and sure, I can put that as a topic. But if I feel like the leadership team as a whole feel the need for a certain kind of insight into, let's say we're doing, should we do PLG? Should we go after this particular kind of market? And they're all feeling that need of external input. I also take some of those topics from my leadership team and I put them into the topics that I will discuss with the board. So that is basically how we decide the type of information that we get, that we put in the board deck. And then I take all of that from the team. Obviously, I put a lot more information, and then we like financials and other things in there. But literally, I submit the entire deck. I call it deck, although it's not a deck, the entire kind of material pack minus the CEO update before the board meeting. And then on the in the board meeting, I add the CEO update, and then we talk about the topics.
I love that you're, you know, kind of recruiting your whole team to weigh in on like what are the areas that we do really need input. And I think, you know, that's not only a valuable practice in terms of maximizing the time you have with your board, but I think it's a really healthy practice in general for founders, small companies. This idea that it's okay to ask for help, I think, you know, especially I would imagine as a first-time founder, there's an immense amount of pressure to like be on top of everything and solve your own problems and figure things out and keep that momentum going forward. But everybody gets stuck, right? Like we all hit these obstacles or things that these moments where we could really benefit from another opinion. Maybe we benefit from somebody who has more experience in this area and creating that culture where it's not only okay, but it's just part of your standard practice to have everybody reflect on those areas where they could use a little bit of extra input and support and take that to your board, I think is an extremely mature cultural practice that not a lot of companies are doing.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially a company this small, to expose the leadership team to some of the things that we're doing to kind of corporate, more kind of corporate, structure. And even after the board meeting, we do have a kind of a debrief with the leadership team saying, hey, these are some of the things that we got insights from. This is kind of the sentiment. These are the topics that we decided together to bring in front of the board and what we got out of it. And it's beautiful because it basically rallies internally the team around you as well. And they feel like not only that they have the support of the founders and the CEO, but they also feel like the company's being supported by a much bigger network, the board, the investors, the mentors, advisors, and they have a much bigger ecosystem around us to help us grow. So it really builds that culture and that trust in the organization, and kind of gets everybody a lot more, fired up to build a bigger company.
Yeah, you're right. It's really motivating when you see all of these different people like rallying around the same goal. Especially, if you're on a smaller team and maybe your department is, you're the only person. And it can feel, lonely sometimes to just be solely responsible. So to see, all of these people are invested in the outcome of this and in the success of this, is a great way to kind of keep that motivation and that optimism high. Okay, I really want to get into this idea of kind of post board meeting follow up. This is something that we have conversations about all the time. I think there's this tendency, there's so much emphasis put into board meeting prep. And it makes sense, right? Like it's this very high stakes moment. It's on the calendar. Like you better be ready for your board meeting because it's going to happen. So teams invest all this time in the prep. By the time the meeting's over, I think it's understandable that a lot of people feel just like relief. Maybe you're a little exhausted from the
You need a
process.
drink after that, for sure.
Yes, yes, exactly. But there's a lot of important and valuable work to be done after a meeting to make sure that you are holding people accountable for whatever new goals were set. And that goes for both like your team, but also your board members, and making sure that everybody across the entire organization is accountable for whatever work needs to be done. I would love to hear about how you're managing that part of the process.
Yes, I agree. It's as valuable to do the follow-up as it is to have the board meeting. Because if you have the board meeting and everyone's, kind of chatting, but then nothing happens afterwards, then it's not a good use of time on the long term. We do, after the board meeting, we send everyone, obviously, kind of wrap up and materials with additional action items. And then we follow up individually with those particular board members that have that can help or have more insights, schedule follow-up meetings if needs be. I have to say it was pretty challenging for a long time to keep track, especially early on was a lot more challenging than probably it is right now because there were so many things that the board could help us with or that the board needed us to send in order for them to be more helpful. So we were running all kinds of like documents and like Google Docs and so on. That's something that actually Surfboard is pretty good with, like being able to kind of keep those action items in there and be very transparent on like who can help where, and like you said, rallying not just the team but also the board members towards the same goal. So it's pretty important to kind of have those action items pretty clear, follow up with those, and address them in the next board meeting.
Yeah, I think that again is like a very mature practice that not a lot of not as many companies as should be, are doing. There's this like real drop off in that accountability after a meeting. And like I said, it makes so much sense if you think about kind of the emotional experience of going through that really high pressure period of time. But yeah, being able to close the loop on those moments and making sure that everybody's on the same page, any feedback you got from the board that your leadership team needs to hear is being relayed, and you're really focusing on those key priorities, which, even if you assume everybody's on the same page, they may not be. So that follow-up process is extremely valuable.
I would say that indeed, like at the beginning, we were so like it was so intense to prep for the board meeting, have the board meeting, and so much going on into it that sometimes after you spend like a few days just prepping for the board meeting and you come back to the business, there's so much to do and catch up with that you forget to do that follow-up. A good practice that I've started is already blocking time in my calendar after the board meeting to do some of these follow-up steps, either internally with the team to do debriefs or like externally to follow up and do kind of put all the ducks in a row. That's helped me be more organized rather than the follow-up being an afterthought.
Yeah, I think that's really a very smart way to block that time out. It's great. I'm loving this conversation because you've found so many creative ways to kind of problem solve on your own how to make this more valuable or more approachable, whether that's like, okay, these, designing slides, picking colors for my slides is taking so much time and I don't know why I'm doing that. So let's just find a different format. Or like, okay, yeah, I finished board meeting and I've got all of this work piled up from the last however many days, but I need this time, so we're gonna carve it out, set it in stone, and finding those ways to really make the system work for you instead of just constantly, jumping through these hoops that may or may not be worth your time doing. I would love to hear if you have any other kind of these nuggets of wisdom, is how I'm seeing them. Just things that you've learned through trial and error, or best practices that you're implementing that you've seen have a really positive impact on how you're using this time.
Yeah, it's like I think it's just spot on, exactly like you said. Choose the format that works the best for you, regardless of like what that means. At the beginning, as we started hosting these board meetings, it was a certain format you would find in all the blog posts, and this is how you should run a board meeting and all the lists. I realized that certain things were frustrating. Either the format was frustrating or kind of the way we would deliver information, the way we would present on the day. And then I said, stop. Like at the end of the day, you're the founder, you're the CEO, and however you think the board meeting should be run in order to help the company the most and help the board members have a good idea of what's happening in the company so that they can help, that's what should work for you. So that's when we decided, let's just shift the format. And this is the cadence that helps us. This is the format that helps us and our board members. We got feedback from them as well. So obviously, it's important to check in with them and say, hey, is this working for you too? So that we're all on the same page. I think that that's the number one thing is like choose whatever works for you rather than whatever it is in the million blog posts that are out there that I've read when I was preparing for the board meeting. So this is obviously something that's helped us a lot. And then the preparation also was very important because it's much kind of getting out of the zone of, oh, we got a report and you're so nervous on reporting and goals and KPIs and maybe certain numbers were not where you hope them to be and you're just overstressing about those instead of thinking, how do I drive the conversation to make sure that this is valuable of everyone's time? Because if you're spending 4 hours just reporting on numbers, the company's not going to change. You're not going to get any help whatsoever. The numbers are what they are. It's important to drive that conversation with the topics that really will help your numbers be better or like your company grow. And that's the most important kind of part of the board meeting and keeping everyone engaged. I think that when you're in person, it's easy, but when it's a virtual board meeting, It's a little bit harder to keep everyone engaged. So I ask everyone to turn on their cameras so that we can be, body language can be there and it feels a little bit more comfortable, of course, for the founder to kind of go through those pieces of information. And if I feel like some board members are more active than others, I try to engage everyone and ask opinions specifically for each one in the group so that they can feel like they're part of the discussion. Because sometimes, 3 hours in a meeting can be like a long time. And people, organically, naturally get distracted by a phone, by something in their environment. So making sure that you keep every single person engaged and you keep them as part of the conversation is super important. Another thing is also breaks. We do give a lot of breaks during the board meeting so that people can check their phones, can check their laptops, and so on for like 10, 15 minutes after like an hour of discussion, because during the actual active discussions, we ask everyone to kind of turn off their laptops and phones so that we can, use that time really well. So just like these small things that I'm sure some other, founders and CEOs are doing, but obviously we've done a lot of this through trial and error. And now I feel like we're at the point where our board is extremely helpful and extremely engaged in, 4 times a year when we all get together.
Yeah, and I think especially for new or first-time founders who are just kind of getting their footing in this area, and you're right, like you read all of these blog posts. Like if you Google like what should a board meeting look like, you'll find an endless number of blog posts that say roughly the same thing. So the impression you get is, I guess I should follow that same format. But they're not, like, just because it's something that everybody's been doing doesn't make it valuable, doesn't make it a good way to do things, doesn't even necessarily mean it's a best practice. And being able to take that step back as a founder and say, if this isn't working for me, I've got to figure out a different way to make it work, regardless of what everybody else is doing, regardless of what it seems like I should be doing, I think that's such a valuable practice and something that hopefully some other founders hearing you have really positive experiences with that will be more comfortable exploring for themselves, because the number of things that are uncomfortable about like starting a company, working with your first board, all of that pressure, it feels very high stakes. So breaking out of that mold that seems very set in stone can be intimidating. But there's a lot of good reason to do it and just find whatever works for you. And yep, if something is frustrating, I think that's a great way to kind of evaluate, okay, maybe we need to just completely rethink how we're doing this.
And it's a kind of a teamwork. It's a teamwork with your board, kind of finding that rhythm, finding that, kind of structure that helps all the board members help grow the company, because that's the ultimate goal, right? Like we're all in it together to grow the company and build value for all the stakeholders.
Yeah, and there's no point like jumping through these hoops if it's not adding value or helping us get closer to our goal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I want to be mindful of time here, but to sort of wrap this up, I want to give you the opportunity to share any other lessons you've learned, advice for other founders, advice for board members, anything else that you think people would really benefit from hearing about your personal experience with this.
I think every single experience is slightly different just because board members are different, right? And there's different synergies in there. We have chosen a good structure between board members and board observers. And I know there's also like a lot of debate around board observers and how many should you have? And because there's companies that end up with like 20 board observers. I was talking to a founder the other day. Of course, they're much further in stage, they're pre-IPO, and they ended up having like 20 board observers, everybody having an opinion, and it's just so much in that room. Right now, we do have one board observer, and he is incredible. So he adds a lot of value to the discussion. So I think it's important to choose that structure of the board also really well, like the board members and the board observers. And then another thing I would say is like the type of discussions, because there's certain topics that you can open up to the entire board to discuss, but there's other topics that probably are more valuable if you address with every single board member individually so that there's no bias, so there's no kind of, you know, the opinions are raw, and then you bring all of those opinions together somehow and kind of make a decision that way. So I would say that the other thing that I would advise, you know, founders as they're kind of setting up their board and building this is choosing the topics that they would bring to a forum and the ones that they would address like individually with each board member.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And something that I also think does not occur to a lot of people, but like those group dynamics are very real. And yeah, how someone engages, you know, in front of the whole group may be really different than how they engage one-on-one.
Yes.
And it's not uncommon, you know, within any group of people, and boards are no exception, to have, you know, one or two people who tend to kind of dominate the conversation and a few people who tend to be a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anybody's opinions are more or less valuable. So giving everybody that opportunity to weigh in without being influenced by each other's opinions or just the group dynamics probably gives you a lot of valuable insight that you wouldn't get otherwise, I have to imagine.
Yeah, I agree. Because like you said, there's, you know, those opinions are a lot more raw and, you know, they're not skewed in a certain way, depending on like what others are saying in the group. So I think that there's a lot of value in it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you've shared so many like great tips and things that you're doing. I have no doubt that other founders are going to listen to this and have some great things to go try and see if they work for them too. So thank you so much for giving us an hour of your day to sit down and chat and share all of these super valuable lessons that you've learned the hard way that other people can learn the easy way.
It was my pleasure, Sarah. You know, we're all in it together, especially as founders and CEOs and board members, is to kind of grow our companies and to really build something valuable for the industry. So I'm happy to share this. Thank you for inviting me for your series.
Yes, and thank you again for being our first inaugural guest.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.